It was defined as something which relates the growth of time color. In fact, it is not the case. So causality is the prescription how to separate, how to divide the points into the manifold, onto future, past, and space-like points. So causality in different sense is the relation between different events and the order of these events. And what is the emergent geometry? It's in some branches of physics, this is now a standard notation for this. So in this talk, it should be just the geometry for perturbations on every possible given background. So first of all, what is this K essence? Let's remind me, what is this? So let's consider just every possible action. This action is generally covariant, doesn't contain any external quantities which should depend on any background. So it's really Lorentz invariant, generally covariant, everything is as almost as usual. So the only difference from the standard case is that we allow any non-trivial dependence not only on field phi, but also on this standard kinetic term which we do not X. That's the main important letter during all talk. So now we can do all this machinery as usual. We can derive the energy of metal tensor, it looks like this. We can prove that, for example, null energy condition is not violated, provided that the derivative of our Lagrangian, which we do not pay, and you know, sometimes we will denote it as usual as L. Okay. So why it is useful to write pair sometimes? Just because in the case of positive x, there is quite a useful hydrodynamical analogy, namely that one can rewrite this energy momentum tensor in terms of just effective hydrodynamical quantities. So and the Lagrangian density becomes just pressure, and the just the number transform from pressure becomes energy density. So one can introduce four velocity. And what is more interesting, one can introduce the sound speed. And this sound speed works only in the case if you have cosmology or time-like text. So really, this equivalence with hydrodynamic holds. That would be important thing for us further. So I will use sometimes this notation as epsilon or p, also in the case if the background is not time-like. On the time-like ground, I understand time-like derivatives of this very new phi.
You can move the lights. Go for the light.
Now after the energy momentum tensor, we can derive the equation of motion. So this equation of motion looks almost like the usual Pangolin equation, with the only exception that the metric which is appearing here before the second derivative is different. It's new induced metric, which is related to the normal gravitational metric, but has this additional contribution. So this means, in fact, that the causal structure, namely the characteristic surfaces, the propagation vectors, are different from the normal standard case. So what is, if you are speaking about equations of motion, then in fact, we need to require that the time evolution is defined or can be defined for this system in a physically meaningful way. So for the systems which contain just the same amount of time derivatives and space derivatives, which is just a requirement of normal generally covariant theory, we need that the equation of motion should be hyperbolic. And roughly speaking, the hyperbolicity means that the signature of this metric should be Lorentzian. So in that case, we can introduce the notion of time. Otherwise, time is just a coordinate. We do not have really constructure. We don't have characteristics. And we cannot define the future and past in a really physically meaningful way. So
such systems are hyperbolic provided this condition holds. So this condition is, of course, generally covariant, and it does not depend on the system of reference which we use. So the only thing is the construction of the Lagrangian, so the theory we consider, and what is really the solution we take in account. So in fact, in the case of hydrodynamics where x is positive, this is just equivalent to the usual hydrodynamical stability requirement that the sum speed squared should be positive. So in fact, it was a rather interesting thing. So as I gave a talk here maybe almost 1 year ago, I thought that this condition was derived for the first time in this paper. But after that, I realized that, you know, all new things, they are well forgotten old things. And at least to my best knowledge, it was derived in 69 by Aronov, Kamar, and Saskin. So now how we can consider causality there and characteristics and propagation and so on. So first, it's rather easy to use our intuition from normal linear theories and just guess that the characteristics or propagation vectors, they should be defined through the inverse metric, to the metric which appeared in the equations of motion. So one can calculate this inverse metric, and after that, one can see that if you take null vector for every possible gravitational metric which we have here, then this null vector becomes time-like with respect to this new metric, this induced metric. So this happens provided that this inequality holds. So this is a rather unusual thing because we would expect that all these derivatives are positive, but in order to have superluminality, so and this is the case if standard null vector becomes time-like in this geometry, then this derivative should be negative, provided that we do not want to have ghosts. So provided that this derivative is positive and we do not violate null energy condition. So this, in fact, this condition, if you remember the formula for the sound speed, this would correspond for x for positive x, this would correspond to the sound speed larger than 1. So it's normal, in a sense, normal hydrodynamical thing. So now I would continue with the consideration of the whole problem. So it's really a non-linear problem. And after that, I will proceed with perturbations. So what is quite a typical problem with all nonlinear theories is that not all initial data are really allowed for well-Post-Cauchy problem. So the simplest example would be just we can take normal particle with the square root relativistic Lagrangian. We cannot take initial conditions which are just velocity which is 1,000 because there's no such phase space there. So here, the situation is a little bit more subtle. So first, because we consider general theories, you know, there is no physical motivation for special form of this Lagrangian. We don't know this. That's why first thing we have to require is the hyperbolicity condition holds. So this should be really equation of motion and not like constraint or Poisson equation, whatever. So the second thing is more subtle, in fact, and it is really typical or really required only for the series which allows the superluminal propagation. So what is the subtlety here? That in fact our metric can be calculated just by using initial data. So we have the theory which is nonlinear, however it depends only so the equation of motion is of the second order. That's why we have two functions which we should use as initial data. So after that, if we take these initial functions, so with respect to any possible Cauchy hypersurface. So we can take, of course, this Cauchy hypersurface should be Cauchy hypersurface in the sense that it is space-like in the normal gravitational metric. Because we should not forget that in any case, such series, they should interact with gravity. That's why the full system, the whole system of equations can be meaningfully formulated, the Cauchy problem for these systems of system of equations can be meaningfully posed only provided that this is space-like in gravitational metric. So let's take a possible Cauchy hypersurface here. This is Cauchy hypersurface for gravitation, and we hope that it is Cauchy hypersurface for this mysterious fluid or mysterious field. After that, we can, you know, suppose that the metric here is just gamma ik, and we can take synchronous system of coordinates along this hypersurface. So after that, we can take initial data, which is just initial field configuration and initial field derivative. And after that, we can calculate this thing. We can calculate this effective metric. We can calculate this cones of influence. And what can happen is that this cone, which is calculated on this initial data, can flip in such a way that this hypersurface becomes time-like with respect to this new induced metric. So for such configurations, Cauchy problem would be spoiled, and we do not have any predictive power, because theoretically we could use this standard Cauchy-Kowalewski theorem. However, it only predicts that we have knowledge of solution in an infinitely small region close to this hypersurface. So it's really unphysical thing. So what is the way out? So let's find such initial data which are allowed for well-posed Cauchy problem, and let's think whether they are somehow reasonable or physically motivated or not. So good initial data is equal to well-posed Cauchy problem. And in fact, what is more interesting, it is equal to small derivatives with respect to this hypersurface. That's very important thing, because in fact, that this is a Lorentz invariant statement, in fact, because we choose this hypersurface. For example, we put our device, which should produce this initial data, on this hypersurface. And that means that this device, in its own reference frame, should produce small gradients of this field. So this is, of course, Lorentz invariant statement already. And remember that we took every possible space-like hypersurface from the very beginning. That's why for every space-like hypersurface, we can take the same, so to say, amount of initial data. So there's the same space of initial data. So what are the restrictions? So in fact, if you take really small space gradients of this initial field, or what is equivalent, provided that the hyperbolicity condition holds, small time derivatives, then small in this sense. Remember that we need, if the superluminality condition holds, then this thing is negative. So that means that we have to restrict this thing to some small values. So it's like taking a cutoff in usual effective field theories. So in fact, all physical devices, they do not produce huge gradients, because, you know, huge gradients mean huge forces. And that's a kind of physical thing. So that's like an effective cutoff parameter for this theory. So if such conditions hold, then our Cauchy problem for the whole nonlinear problem is well defined. So after that, we can solve it, and it is stable with respect to the high frequency perturbations. And so the time evolution is meaningfully defined. However, it should be mentioned that for such nonlinear theories, there may be troubles which are much more complicated than picture, you know, even, I don't know, mathematical solutions for these troubles. Namely, caustics may appear. So, but that's the normal trouble for normal tachyonic method, is this square root without any superluminality and so on. So nobody knows how to deal with. There are some theorems from theory of partial differential equations. However, they you know, very restrictive, so there are no direct physical meaning which one could explain. So another point which concerns really this whole nonlinear problem is the following thing. So we started from the general equivariance theory. And so our usual understanding of gravitational metric is that exactly this metric provides us the causality, the limits on propagation of everything. And the natural question arises whether this feature of general relativity is somehow universal, made or can be implemented in a universal way here. So you can ask me, well, you just contradict yourself because you just showed us that there are two metrics and one of these metrics allows superluminal propagation. In fact, the thing is more complicated. And the point is, if you have reasonable nonlinear field theory, then one can claim, suppose it is analytic in the vicinity of x equal to 0. That's rather a natural thing to do, especially if we are thinking about some field theories. So in that case, we have this expansion. After that, we can look at really localized configuration, localized initial data. So initial data with finite support. In that case, so it's really what we usually do in physics. We only can produce initial data, unfortunately, only in a restricted, in a bounded region in space. So we take, once again, this Cauchy hypersurface, we put this initial data. So this green one is field, initial field, and this one is field derivative. And these things are just light cones. And after that, just if we require that the data are smooth, because if they are not smooth, I don't know how to solve even normal problems. No, not to mention what to do with nonlinear problems. But if the data are smooth, and if we have really this analytic behavior of the Lagrangian, in that case, on the border of this region, the cones, which are this for this case, and these cones of influence are red cones, they just coincide with the normal light cones. So that means that if I want, for example, to send signal to Andromeda or whatever, and I am able only to do some local things, to produce some local lumps of this matter, of this field, then these local things, they will propagate always only with the speed of light. So in that sense, the universal meaning of the gravitational metric holds. So there is no trouble with causality if we do not have, there is no trouble with causality in any case, but there is no different causal limits if you do not have the pre-existing Lorentz violating background, non-trivial dynamical background where x is non-zero. So for example, if this thing would be dark energy or inflation or whatever, in that case, this background would allow us to send some signals faster than light. If you do not have this luxury, then we cannot use this. So on the other hand, if we, from some reason, this term doesn't exist in this expansion, then what is interesting with having only x squared, the sound speed is always less than one. So here it should be, however, mentioned that this analogy is not, and this argument is not completely correct, just because if you have this x squared, and if you remember how our equation of motion looked like, then we realize that this would correspond to singularity, close to the x equal to 0. So one can easily understand this in the sense that well, if you have such theory and x close to 0, suppose x is positive, then it's like plasma, for example. We can model this thing, an equation of state p equal to 1/3 of epsilon. And if you want to consider perturbations in plasma, where plasma does not exist, then it is meaningless. So that's why for such theories which do not start from this term, the perturbations around zero, around trivial backgrounds, are ill-defined. So on the other hand, there is interesting things that for every theory of this kind, so without field dependence, so translational invariant in field space, there are always solutions of this form. So they are normal light-like fronts which are moving there. So this is another manifestation of the original Lorentz invariance of this series. So what is the main, argument here, and the main result is that, that the causal limit for localized configuration is given by the gravitational metrics. So it's not a big new thing. So what is this emergent geometry? So there is, Okay. So that is Leray theorem. So that's very important result, as far as I understand, one of the most important results. How much time do I have? 9 minutes. Okay. Maybe one of the most important results in the whole theory of partial differential equations. And this result was never really, really published in as a book or as a journal. So it was published in some notices of Princeton University. So what is the point of this result? One can read this theorem in World Book, for example, or in Hawking. That if we have such equations, such nonlinear partial, better to say quasi-linear partial differential equations, then the perturbations around the given solutions, they propagate causally in the metric which was written, you know, in this equation of motion. So in this new induced metric. This is rather natural result. One could expect this just using our intuition. However, we do know that, you know, if you just consider causality, then by doing conformal transformations, we can introduce all possible geometries without changing this notion of causality. So the separation of space-time into future, past, and space-like regions does not change. So however, the question would be in which geometry, in which metric, the perturbations for general nonlinear field theory around general background phi, every possible thing, so cosmology, black hole, whatever we want, and around every possible metric gem we knew. In this geometry, the equations of motion for this pi are generally covariant with respect to this new induced metric. And let's do this in test field approximation, because otherwise we need to think about all these induced metric perturbations. And in general, of course, it's completely unclear how to do this, because if you do not have symmetry for the background, you do not know what are the symmetries for these perturbations, how to organize them in a generally covariant way. In the gauge invariant, but we'll say way. So after that, we do know that the only thing we are allowed to do here is just to perform conformal transformation, because otherwise it does not work, because otherwise we spoil causality, which is given by the Leray theorem, which was given by this original metric. And in fact, it's quite easy to calculate that the metric, which is really filled by the perturbation pi, is given by this quite ugly formula, but it's just conformal transformation of the original metric. And after that, the equation of motion for perturbations takes the following, and looks like this. And these new derivatives are really covariant derivatives for this new induced metric. So it's rather nice exercise, just because after that we can use our intuition, which we have from all these field theories in curved space-time. And in fact, this metric is completely fixed by background and by gravitational background. And after that, we have reduced just this problem to the standard problem. So after that, we have this quadratic action. We can quantize everything. We can study the growth of perturbations on every scale. Whatever we want, we can do using our standard intuition from this thing. So the effective mass looks rather ugly, but, you know, that's perturbations. So, of course, this action looks like this. It's not a big surprise. And what is rather nice thing is that if we take the standard cosmological perturbations, so the action which was derived by Garriga and Mukhanov in 1999, then, in fact, these perturbations, these canonical variables, they really live in this geometry which we introduced. So one can rewrite the action for cosmological perturbation in exactly, well, it's not also a big deal, just, you know, different formalism, but one can rewrite everything in generally covariant way, so that we have this metric and mass and so on. So why it is also important, because we can quantize it, and if we can quantize this thing, then we can use different general results from the quantum field theories in curved spacetimes, because now it's mathematically the same thing, the same problem. And if we quantize this, then, for example, we can use chronology protection conjecture of Hawking. And this, in fact, precludes the existence of closed time-like curves. And there is no other way. So now, today, there are no other ways to kill time machines. So just recent example in January was published a paper by a big time machine guy who just introduced new time machine made solely of dust, and it is asymptotically flat. So just rotating dust localized somewhere. So closed time recurves do exist there. So the only way to kill this is just quantum mechanics. Seems to be the case, but it's not proved. You know? After that, I have maybe 2 minutes, or I don't know. Three, okay. Three, that's great. So there were some claims in the recent literature that that should be, you know, troubles, there should be troubles with causality, with real causal paradoxes, I mean. So in that in the case, under causal paradoxes, I mean that I can send a message to myself in my own past. That's a very important thing. So I can kill my grandmother before my mother was born. So here it is impossible to do this thing. So for most of interesting backgrounds, it's completely nonsense to claim such things. Just because, for example, if you take Friedman universe and calculate this effective metric and remember that our signals, our perturbations, they do propagate in this effective metric, then it's just different Friedman. A slightly different time evolution of the scale factor. So just to claim that for such models like KS and their closed time recurves, it's equivalent to claim that their closed time recurves in the Friedman universe, which of course nonsense. So the usual thing, I think I have 1-2 minutes. So the usual thing which we have in mind is this paradox. You know, we are sending signal here. This signal propagates faster than light. We have this bad black rocket, and in this reference frame we can send signal back in this time, but this is so to say future for this time. But remember, there is no notion of future if we do not have these cons. So it doesn't have any meaning. So if we have real this k essence, which is hyperbolical system, then these cons are fixed by background. And we are not allowed to send signals here. We are only allowed to send signals here. And so in the future. So and in that case, all these causal paradoxes, they do not appear there. So there, one can use more strict mathematical formulation of this thing. One can introduce the notion of stable causality. And in fact, it's you know, they're big words. I have 1 minute. Yeah. They're big words, but in fact, it's nothing else. It's just differentiable function, scalar function, which can be introduced on the whole piece of relevant space-time, or manifold, better to say in this case. And in such a way that the gradient is just future-directed time-like vector field. So using this criteria, one can prove that in all of our examples, which we have before, like looking beyond the horizon, this inflation with large gravitational waves or whatever, no closed time recurves can appear. So they just are not there. So after that, I think I have to conclude. Or I have. Okay, because we need to have coffee or whatever. So my conclusion is very simple. So in fact, I skipped quite a lot of things, but the conclusion is the superluminal propagation does not lead to any causal paradox in K essence series. So thanks a lot for attention.
Quantize the KS using the effective metric. Perhaps that's the freedom microcausality condition and so on. Do you anticipate any problems with having other fields obey different metrics, so you've got another background field? So the KS is just going to be coupled to gravity, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Look, and then it's going to be indirectly coupled to other fields.
Sure. Of course. Exactly. Yeah.
And then you use the normal light cone, the background metric for that?
Of course, there's no problems. Just look, if we have this K essence, you know, we are quantizing only these perturbations, these like phonons. If we take, and they are propagating in a medium, you know, in a given background. Let's consider condensed matter physics. There are a huge amount of different quasi-particles. All these quasi-particles have well-formulated quantum field theory. and they have different velocities. So they have really different propagation points. In that sense, they are different field series, quantum field series, which are coupled to each other in some way. Of course, maybe, you know, it's good question. Maybe due to some subtleties, due to this peculiar coupling, they may arise some troubles, but I don't see them. So if you could find them, that would be very interesting, because for this series, either you can kill them and say they are bad from some reason, from some natural reason, you know. Just besides of our intuitive reason that the sound speed larger than the speed of sound, speed of light, so it should be bad, okay? Just, it is not written in general relativity, it is not written in special relativity. It's not postulate of anything. Well, one can introduce this local causality postulate, but in fact, it doesn't have anything to do with this causality.
So, right, yeah, this was just a question about the quantum theory. I believe in classical theories.
But quantum theory, look, if you don't have this in first thing in this condensed metaphysics, where we do have, that's what we observe. For example, photons, they for sure propagate with a different velocities than phonons. And they are coupled, sure. For sure. And one can, of course, reformulate them using such language, you know. Of course, we can write something which looks like Lorentzian geometry, but having different S there. And they're coupled, for sure. And what's it happened?
Good. Yes.
Okay, why don't we maybe take 20 minutes for coffee and come back at 11:35?